Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good morning. It's 8:30 on Tuesday, March 19th. I'm Desiree Frazier. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. On today's show, Mississippi Public Retirement System Board is pushing back against an attempt from lawmakers to replace them with political appointees. 5 years after an ecological disaster, residents of the Mississippi coast want more say in how much floodwater is sent into the Mississippi Sound. Plus, it's been 4 years since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. The state epidemiologist reflects on how far we have come in that time. Mississippi Public Employees Retirement Board is voicing its opposition to a House bill to replace it with political appointees. The current system is made up of a variety of stakeholders in the PERS system, including current employees from multiple agencies and municipalities, retirees, as well as two members appointed by state elected officials. House Bill 1590 would favor a board led by political appointees with just two of the 11 members representing current and former state employees. This proposal comes as the PERS agency is reporting a declining revenue stream to fund the program. Lawmakers claim the issue is a series of poor investments. Bill Benson currently represents county employees on the PERS board, and he's the former chair. Speaking with our Will Stribling, he says the bill strips PERS members of their voice and doesn't do anything to address the challenges the system currently faces.
One, you're disenfranchising 300,000 members who have voted to elect the folks that are on board. The problems that are there are a numbers problem. It is a problem of everybody, but it is not the fault of the board or a problem that the board has created. So I do think that's an issue. The way that it was done is an issue. It was done from the floor, very little debate. The bill was passed and gone before anybody knew anything about it, and that also has created some distrust with members. I do believe the current board, I have served with a great many members since 2008 on the board, including the current governor, who was a very good board member. And every member of this board that I've ever worked with has made sure that they perform their fiduciary duty as they believe they should. They have done the things that the actuary has recommended, that our investment advisors have recommended. We have followed their lead and responded in addition to the legislature when they have asked for information. And if you look at our long-term investment returns over a 15-year period, it's top two. You'll see in that same brochure, the same memo that you had, that's top 2% of investment funds, pension funds over $10 billion. And I don't think you find anything in the private sector that accomplishes what we've accomplished at that price. Many things, again, that I would take issue with the bill, but anything like that, one, I think needs a lot more discussion than the rush to do that. Membership is not very trusting of an event that happens like that. And the other thing that concerns me is something, a bill like this scares membership. We have, I think, approximately 25% of our membership that is eligible to retire. And I've had multiple phone calls. Hey, do I need to hurry up and retire before this bill takes effect or before there are any changes? And that puts even more pressure.
I want to talk more about that point that changing the PERS board isn't going to make this problem go away, right? Because this is, you can't change the terms of a contract after it's been signed. These are, these liabilities are going to exist and have to get paid. I mean, what
the numbers are, and whether it is this board or whether it is a new board or some composition of both, the numbers are what the numbers are. There was unfunded liability in the 1990s. It grew with the 1990 benefit changes. It grew then. We had the dot-com bust. We had 2008, the Great Recession, 2008, 2009. There have been changes in actuarial assumptions, longer lifespan, the lowering of the expected rate of return. Then Peer took issue in their report that we should go to 7%. Then auditor's office performed an audit that said we should go to 7%, which we did. And it does impact the unfunded liability, but Peer is an arm of the legislature. So we've got their group telling us to do it, and actuaries telling us to do it, and auditor's office telling us to do it. It's hard not to follow those recommendations, and we've taken some criticism for that. And reasonable people can argue about should we have done it incrementally, how should we have gotten there. But that is something that we felt we should do based on the advice of our experts and the experts of the state, not only actuarial experts, but the experts that work for the legislature.
Bill Benson is a board member for the Mississippi Public Employee Retirement System. Coming up, 5 years after an ecological disaster, residents of the Mississippi coast want more say in how much floodwater is sent into the Mississippi Sound. Thank you for listening to Mississippi Edition this morning on MPB Think Radio. We're asking you to do something super important. It's an opportunity to support your community through a gift to this not-for-profit radio station. We call it Drive Time. Here with us, or with me, I should say, to talk about why your contribution is so crucial, Kevin Farrell and Abram Nanny.
Thanks for listening to MPB Think Radio. During our brief March fundraiser, I am Kevin Farrell. This week, we've been asking you to think about how much programs on this station mean to you on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis, and how the shows produced right here at MPB make you a better informed person. This fundraiser will be successful. We just need 3 minutes of your time to help out. With me, here's Abram Nanny.
Thank you, Kevin. We feel comfortable coming directly to you to ask for support. That's because this is a partnership. It's you, your neighbors, friends, and people you've never met. People who all feel the same passion for programs here on MPB Think Radio. People who think that a statewide network devoted to keeping Mississippi's kids plugged into their studies through our digital education network to the new Classroom TV channel. You do that. You make MPB happen. Get involved by calling or texting the word GIVE to 888-372-4483, also at mpbonline.org.
On Mississippi Edition, our coverage of all things Mississippi, Monday through Friday at 8:30 a.m., we cover a variety of topics as wide and deep as the river that's our namesake. You've heard how hospital closures in Mississippi are contributing to the growth and the severity of health disparities. We're asking you to please invest in this local source of news coverage and informative discussion. All it takes is 3 minutes of your time to fund all of that.
If your family regularly gives money to nonprofits, church, and charities each year, we're hoping you'll consider a donation of $500 or more right now to MPB Think Radio. $500 can give you, your kids, grandkids, and people from all walks of life a source of news and educational content that puts community ahead of profits. That's chiefly because this is a nonprofit service, which you're building with every dollar you give. You're prioritizing local programs and the education of our youth. Think about what $500 or $1,000 investment will do. It only takes 3 minutes to make that happen by calling 888-372-4483 or giving online at mpbonline.org.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Desiree Frazier. A coalition of residents along the Mississippi Gulf Coast has filed a legal action to protect the Mississippi Sound. In 2019, the Corps redirected trillions of gallons of water from the Mississippi River into the Sound, crippling the seafood industry. As MPB's Michael McEwen reports, residents along the waterway say nearly 5 years later, lasting effects on the ecosystem and economy remain.
From his office at the Pass Christian Harbor, David Gauthier can look out over the waters of the Mississippi Sound, where his family has made a living for generations. In the 1930s, David's grandfather became a pioneer of the commercial shrimping industry by grading and packing several species for wholesale. Each generation has worked in the industry since.
I get some shrimp for my birthday.
All right. You want them peeled or you want head on or how do you want
them? I usually peel them.
David now owns and operates his own business where he receives and sells seafood brought to his docks. But he says seafood for Mississippi has been in short supply since 2019, when the Army Corps of Engineers opened the Bonnie Carey Spillway over two different periods, inserting fresh water into the Sound. The spillway releases water from the Mississippi River and through Lake Pontchartrain to prevent flooding in New Orleans. Gautier says he can't think of anything that's had more of a detrimental impact on the estuary than those 2019 openings. Not Katrina, not Camille, and not even BP.
I've never seen anything take this long to rebuild. Hurricanes, you might cover up reefs, but Mother Nature has a way of rebounding naturally. But when you absolutely wipe out and kill and decimate everything, I mean, it's hard to come back.
Over the course of 123 days, an estimated 6 trillion gallons of Mississippi River water entered the Sound. It was the first time the spillway was opened twice in a year, and the longest period ever. Officials with the Mississippi Department of Marine Resources say it caused salinity levels throughout the estuary to drop to zero. That's especially hazardous in estuaries like the Sound, which operate under a careful chemical balance of both fresh and salt water, known as brackish. When that balance tips too far in either direction, as it did in 2019, the impacts are often severe on marine life.
That's today. I give you tomorrow, I got 74 for tomorrow.
The lasting effects are most apparent at Gautier's docks, where a boat arriving from Louisiana is offloading 136 sacks of oysters. That's almost 1,000 pounds less than what was typical on a given day before 2019.
That was probably 100 little boats coming in bringing oysters off these reefs. This guy has 136 sacks on him, and that's not even going to pay my labor for the day. I got one or two boats a week, maybe. But when I say one or two a week, I mean basically it's one or two a month right now.
But the coast seafood economy isn't the only industry that faced both immediate and lasting impacts from the openings. During the height of the tourism industry's biggest revenue period, widespread images of dead marine life like bottlenose dolphins and sea turtles washing up on Mississippi beaches were circulated nationally. Hundreds of hotel and other reservations were canceled as a result. The Mississippi Sound Coalition, comprised of coastal cities, marine scientists, fishermen, and the Hotel Association, among others, was formed shortly after the 2019 spillway openings. They filed legal action, urging the Army Corps of Engineers, who decides when and how to operate the spillway, to consider the effects on communities when making those decisions.
It's 400,000 people that they've been ignoring.
That's Gerald Blessy, an attorney for the coalition.
Every piece of our economy is involved, not just seafood and tourism, but everything else is relying upon that. This whole problem calls out for a national solution to this national problem, and in the end, only the Congress can make that happen. Make the Corps change how they manage the Mississippi River.
In 2020, Congress mandated the Corps of Engineers conduct a study on ways to better manage the lower Mississippi River from Illinois to Louisiana. But the project's study phase has only just begun, and recommended solutions aren't expected until 2028, almost a decade after the 2019 spillway disaster. Back at David Gautier's docks, the work continues. He worries what it can mean for the future of the coast's economy and ecology if the spillway were to be opened again before a solution is reached, if at all.
If something doesn't change soon, you know, I'll have to figure out something else to do with this business or shut it down. You get to a point of diminishing returns and you just have to throw the towel in sometimes. I hate to do it. I love what I do.
More than $6 million in relief funds were provided to the seafood industry last July to compensate for losses related to the 2019 openings. Michael McEwen, MPB News.
Coming up, it's been 4 years since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. The state epidemiologist reflects on how far the state has come in that time. You're listening to Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. Please think about why you choose MPB as your station for news and thoughtful discussion. Then please support everything you love about MPB by contributing what you think is fair. You can do that by calling 888-372-4483, or you can go online at mpbonline.org. Joining me in the studio now to tell you more, Kevin Farrell is here along with Abram Nanny.
Thanks, Desiree. It's MPB Think Radio. I'm Kevin Farrell. Our March on-air fundraiser is pretty brief, so we're asking you to do what you can right now to help us raise the critical funds needed to support MPB television and MPB radio. Listener-supported radio is beholden to the very people whose lives are made better by having access to MPB anytime, day or night. With me this morning, here's Abram Nanny.
Thank you, Kevin. MPB is holding our, again, brief March fundraising campaign this week. These are people who love MPB Think Radio and MPB Television who haven't given yet. You know it's something you want to do, because when somebody, a friend, asks for your help, you do what you will know is right. You volunteer, you give money, you lend a helping hand. Those are values we all share. So now think about your community and how important it is to have MPB Think Radio covering the news you care about. We're here for you, and I hope you'll be here for MPB. We're ready to take your donation at mpbonline.org or call us at 888-372-4483.
You know, about 3 minutes of your time will pay for hours and hours of news coverage, fascinating stories, and informative conversations on Mississippi Edition that you hear every weekday at 8:30 a.m. One of the stories that has affected nearly everyone listening to MPB was about the severe cold that swept through the region in January. The governor declared a state of emergency as freezing rain, sleet, and snow caused dangerous conditions. I hope you're going to support that coverage because it truly does make a difference. Your support really does help, so please do your part right now.
Isn't it great when you can do two important things at once? When you give to MPB as a monthly sustainer, first of all, you'll provide a monthly stream of support for shows hosted by locals who love engaging with listeners. And secondly, you enrich the community at large by investing in public interest journalism, digital and TV-based classroom instruction. So, pick an amount between $5 and $50 a month. Call us or go online and set up your monthly sustainer membership, and in about 3 minutes, you'll be all set. Call or text the word GIVE to 888-372-4483. That's 888-372-4483. Or sign up as a sustainer now at mpbonline.org.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Desiree Frazier. It's been 4 years since the U.S. Department of State issued a global travel warning to prevent spread of the coronavirus. The first case of the disease in Mississippi was identified March 11, 2020. That was the same day the Trump administration declared COVID-19 a pandemic. Dr. Catherine Taylor is the interim state epidemiologist and helped navigate Mississippi through the height of the pandemic. She tells our Kobe Vance a lot has changed since then and hopes the state is in a better position to respond to a crisis now.
One of the things Mississippi has always been good about is teamwork. And I think very early on, Mississippi pulled together with the Department of Health and the National Guard and MEMA and other partners to get things done as they needed to get done. So when testing became an issue, we got the right people together and we did testing. And when vaccine became available, we switched over and we started doing that. So I think that essence of teamwork is something that Mississippi does well. And we learned that we could do it and we could do it fast and for whatever was needed.
What's it been like being able to look back at it now, to be able to see everything that was done, all the accomplishments, but all the, I guess, learning hurdles that were also along the way?
Well, we're all better rested, I will say that. There was a lot of sleepless nights early on. Now, I think, looking back, COVID was a respiratory pandemic, and I think there had been a lot of planning for pandemic flu. And so this was a little bit different, and it changed along the way. I think there are some things that we've put into place now that would help us in the future to prevent this. So, early on, testing was only requested through CDC. And if you wanted to get a test, you had to be in the hospital and be very, very sick. But we learned quickly thereafter that people could have it and be asymptomatic. And so I think should another respiratory pandemic come up, we would be more attuned to that and realize that transmission can occur in other ways and do a better job at managing things from the beginning.
Do you think the pandemic set a precedent for Mississippi to at least be more health aware when it comes to respiratory illnesses going forward?
I hope so. And I hope that message will stick. The message really has always been, if you're sick, stay home. But I think COVID and the way that it was transmitted and how easy it was for contacts to get sick when they were exposed, hopefully that sort of reinforced that message that if you are sick, stay home to try and prevent further spread. And I think that's an important message regardless of whether we're in a pandemic or if it's seasonal flu, you know, the best way to prevent transmission is for those who are ill to stay home.
Looking forward, do you have messages for Mississippians, whether it be about the current vaccines that are available or ways to prepare for a possible other pandemic down the line, knock on wood, that we don't have one soon?
Yeah, let's please not have another pandemic. So the COVID vaccines have been given to so many people and have really great safety profiles. And with the variants changing over time as the vaccines modify to keep up, it's a great idea to stay up to date on your vaccine. The recommendation from me, from the Department of Health, from CDC, is to stay up to date on any vaccination that's recommended for your age group. So for flu, for RSV, for pertussis, for COVID, for all of them, if your doctor recommends that you get up to date, it's a good idea to get up to date because prevention is far better than treatment.
Interim State Epidemiologist Dr. Taylor, thank you so much for your time.
Sure.
This has been Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.